I hope, I really hope that you have zero New Year's resolutions, but more a lifestyle that desires Christ and everything that Christ is way before Happy New Year's and way after, that it would just be a consistent lifestyle with Him and not these just kind of tidelik, these short little I desire this and try that and in our own strength want this and do that and comes to nothing most of the time anyways. But may we desire Christ above all in the midst of this new year. Yeah, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this incredible privilege of being able to gather together as a larger part of the body, being able to sing, to worship, to listen, to pray. But Lord, I really pray for your wider body, that we will all desire you above all else. I pray in this new year that there will be this fresh revelation of who you are as our King, as our Creator, as our guide, as our shepherd. And I really ask that you will help us and give us the grace upon grace that we need to continue walking in this world as a child of God. With all the pressures, with all the difficulties, with all the joys, the ups, the downs, I pray that you will be our vision. That our heart will beat for you, Lord Jesus, and for those that don't know you. Please guide us and lead us in your word so that we'll be equipped and understand your heart and know how to live as your people. And I also pray that we'll have this extra portion of grace that will help us to stay humble before you. That we'll walk humbly with you, Lord, as your people, acknowledging that we are your creation, your people, and that you are majestic, that you're almighty. Give us this fear of God that we need to serve you and to walk with wisdom in this world. I pray this in your name. Amen. Okie dokie. So we're going to have a look at a very popular individual within the Bible. I love all the characters in the Bible, and there's some that is more favorite than others, but this guy, he's probably is definitely by far my favorite. Very normal character when you see him growing up, born, has brothers, from what I understand, worked a 9-to-5 job, and born in a very normal family. And somehow this guy caused havoc. If you read, he caused havoc amongst many, but at the same time, you know, was a stable example to follow. Now, how those two work, we only find that in the Bible. And one thing that set him apart from most famous people, most talked about people, he was very talked about, still is very talked about, like this guy's Lionel Messi and Brad Pitt and Jared De Lange and all the famous men, very talked about. But one thing that set this guy apart is that when he died, there's still this incredible waiting upon this character. When all these famous people, they done and dusted, there's still probably a kind of poster on the children's wall of how good-looking that guy was or how many goals that guy scored or whatever the case may be. But this character... But when their legacy is done, they're kind of done. And they know what he did. But this guy, so many people are still waiting upon. Now, you probably know who I'm talking about. But before I get there, one thing that sets this guy, this individual, apart from so many is that way before he entered the stage of this earth, that there were so many people talking about him before he entered. Many. And there is so many predictions and so many things out there, and I just want to read a few. The years, I'm not 100% sure, so it's approximate, but 735 years BC, before Christ, a guy Isaiah said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." And obviously that is confirmed and fulfilled in Luke 1 verse 35. I think we know who we're talking about here, Jesus Christ. And then 520 years, so a little bit after that, 520 years BC, Zechariah said, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, that was confirmed and fulfilled exactly in those details. And then later, 970 years BC, I think a guy, David, wrote it, "A band of evil men has encircled me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments or my clothes and cast lots for them and for my clothing." And these things happened exactly as it was said 970 years ago, 520 years ago. Ugh, not years ago, before Christ came. So 2,000 years ago. And I was thinking over this, you know, so often as a believer, I get so caught in the rut of Christianity, which is good. But I've had a fresh revelation of this individual again, and he's blown my mind away. And I want to kind of, in this year personally, try to do character studies, like I do with other individuals, missionaries, but of Jesus. And to find out what he liked, what he loved, what he did, what he didn't do, and how can I follow? How can I do what he did? And I realize I can't. And we're going to get to why. So, these are a bunch of facts, and I think there's more than, you know, there's different types of prophecies about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. They say there's 55, they say there's from the Genesis all the way up to him, there was these stories and prophecies about him, and then he came. And then he entered the scene, and we kind of got a glimpse, and many believed, many didn't, many struggled with this. There was a lot of talk about this character, Jesus. Many hated, many loved, but regardless of that, he was a talked about character. And I want to look at one passage that displays him or his heart. And I guess you can read the whole Bible and you will see him through and through. But I want to read one passage and we want to dig slightly into that with this in mind. This is our King. This is our Creator. This is the one that has called us. This is the one that has made a way for us to know him personally, know the Father, receive the Spirit. And so let's turn to John 17, if you have your Bible. I didn't have slides this morning, so if you don't have your Bible with you, bring your Bible next time. Otherwise, listen for now. John 17. So it's where the Lord prays. And we know that there's another scripture, the Lord's Prayer, where he's teaching his disciples how to pray. And this is just a personal thing. If I had to call it something, I probably wouldn't call that the Lord's Prayer. I would call this the Lord's Prayer, because this was God praying out of his own heart. This was him speaking to his Father. This was his prayer. This wasn't teaching how to pray. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when you walk into a place where someone is praying, you kind of walk in and you realize, oh, shucks. There's like this beautiful respect, and shucks, the guy is praying. And you see it there at the back, even the children, when we are praying at the back there, and just to let you know, everyone is welcome to pray with. It's not a leader's thing or a this thing or a that thing. You're more than welcome. But when we are praying at the back before the service, you can see it's a constant thing. Someone opens the door, ooh, they walk outside, or if they're coming to pray with, they walk in, and there's this beautiful respect. When you walk into a situation where someone is praying, It's a beautiful thing to witness. And I witnessed it way before I was a believer. I remember I stayed with someone in London, and she was very lost and then became very saved. And now and then in my lost, unknowing, atheist mindset, I now and then came across her praying. And there was something about it that was incredible, even in my dark ways at that time. And now, we've got this incredible privilege, this permission, if I can put it that way, to sit in, to come in, while this King, this Jesus is busy praying. It's this, we need to have this picture. We are walking in while his head is lifted up to the stars, and he's busy pouring out his heart to his Father. He's busy praying. And there is something beautiful about standing in and listening to someone pray. It's incredibly pretty. If it's not a babbling on the street corners like we read, and someone that's trying to get all the attention while they pray, if it's something intimate and real out of their own heart, there's something incredible about it to witness someone praying. Oh, for me anyways, I think it's beautiful. And everyone knows it. You walk in and there's this, okay, you cannot stop it. And now we get this permission to step in and see Jesus pray. John 17. And there's a few things that I want to point out here, but let's read it. Let's read through it first. After Jesus said this, he looked toward the heaven and prayed, Father, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may be glorified, that the Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those that you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before this world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know everything you have given me comes from you. I have gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I prayed for them. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those who you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them. Protect them for the power of your name, by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture could be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. My prayer is not that you are taken out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not in the world, even as I am not in the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself. They too may be truly sanctified. And then he continues to pray for all the believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me. And I want them to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and I know that you have sent me. I have made them known to the world. I have made them known to them and will continue. You known in order to that you loved and yes, ek lees nou. Ek het hierdie knop in my keel. Ek vra verskoning. Love you and have for me by in them and that I may myself may be in them. Luister, julle moet maar weer gaan lees daar by die huis John 17 verskoon maar. So here's this beautiful prayer that he's praying. Alone with his father, probably not alone because someone jotted it down, but someone that was walked in and witnessed this Jesus praying to his father. And there's probably 100 things that I could take out here and we could unpack it and we can get deep in it, but there's 3 things that I want to highlight and I want to bring out for us for this new year that we are walking in. And I'm not sure how Jesus sees a new year. Ek wonder, I don't even know if he sees a new year. Is it just possibly, maybe? I'm not sure. But for us in our new year, new desires, possibly new journeys, new calendar, I want to point out 3 things that's very clear in the scripture. 3 focus points that Jesus prays with this incredible heart for his father and for his people. And the first is, he says it there, is that he will glorify. He asked the Father, glorify me. He's busy praying, glorify me. And then he continues, so that I can glorify you. So this glorify word is found throughout the whole Bible and mostly connected with 2 things. God known for who he truly is and his will being done, which is also him being known for who he truly is most of the time. You see it in where Moses is going up the mountain and he's asking this incredible question to this very majestic God. He says, please, show me your glory. Please show me your glory. I want to know, what is this glory? What is it? Show it to me. And what does God do? After a process saying, no, yeah, I don't know if you can handle it. But after a process, he shows him just a glimpse of himself. He shows him a glimpse of himself. That was glory. That Moses could just witness for that moment a glimpse of this majestic God, even if it was just a piece of him. And there, as a result of him seeing God for who he truly is, even if it's just that much, that was glory. And he came down the mountain, his face shone. It wasn't this biblical principles or this heaven opening up with a bunch of angels singing and doing all this Christian stuff. That wasn't glory, although that was a result of glory, a result of people seeing God for who he is and saying, wow, we are falling face down, we are worshiping, we are doing whatever we are doing as a result of the Son being glorified, the Son being known for who he truly is. Have you ever prayed that prayer where, give me this, Lord, or bless me with this, or help me in this, so that I can do it for you, so that I can bring you glory. Often I hear prayers, and myself included, help me with this business, Lord, or help me with this thing that I'm unpacking, or this children, or whatever the case may be, help me so that I can do it. Forgetting, help me, Lord, so that I can glorify you. This is what Jesus was constantly praying, constantly saying, please give me glory. Allow me to be glorified so that I can give you glory. And then so that my people will have eternal life. And what is eternal life? It says it there in verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So I understand exactly why Jesus was standing, and it might have sounded like a vain prayer. Glorify me. But I think he's the only one who could ever pray that, because he knew that if he was known for who he really is, his Father would be glorified and his people will have eternal life. So he prayed it. Glorify me. Allow me to be known for who I truly am. The second was, he prayed for his disciples, those that followed him, truly followed him. Not those that proclaim Christianity or tick the right boxes or attend on a Sunday and do all the Christian stuff. No. He prayed for those that truly followed him. And we see what that looks like throughout the whole word. And as he prays for them, he's got this beautiful conversation with his father. And knowing that his father knows everything, and he's chatting to his father about what these believers are doing. They believed. They did what your word said. And he's kind of on their side, on the disciples' side, talking to his father and saying, listen, they're okay. And his father knew that, and a loving father would never say, okay, I've got two children, so if Noah, he speaks a lot. He chats a lot, and I found this out by his teacher, Jefrou Sonia, and I found it out again during this holiday. When you spend time alone as a family, just you four, there's no Mikeys, of Tannies, of Omas, of Opas, of... Then you realize, yo, this guy is a bubble beck. And it's beautiful. And most of the stuff that he comes to me chatting about is like, obviously, I'm quite aware of it. I know. And but it would be terrible for me to say every single time he comes to me and chats to me, it would be terrible to say, ja, nou, ek weet, los maar. Ek weet, man, stop it now. Ek weet, I know. I know. No, it doesn't build relationship. It doesn't show intimacy or communion. And this is what Jesus and his father is doing. He's coming to the father who knows everything, and he's saying these things to his father about those that he knows about and has seen and somehow helped with and everything. But there's this beautiful, intimate prayer going on between Jesus and his father. And then he goes on to say, and there's this beautiful plea about his disciples, his followers. He says, please protect them. They're in this world. I'm in this world, but I'm not going to be here any longer. I'm going to go to the place where you are, but they're going to stay here. Please protect them. I don't know, you know, my children are still young, so they're with me, but people with older children going out into studies, overseas, away from your care, I'm sure it's a scary thing. There's this incredible, oh, Lord, please protect them. Please protect my children. There's a lot of dodgy stuff out there, bad influences, you know, car accidents that can happen, you name it. The list is from there to down there. And I've experienced this as a father where you pray for your children, you pray for your wife, you pray for your loved ones in such a way where there's this beautiful plea because of love, because of, I don't want anything to happen to them. That is unnecessary. And you plead for them, you pray for them. And this is where Jesus was. He was praying for his followers, those that truly followed him. And he asked them to protect from who or from what. He says, one thing, the evil one, from the devil, from the enemy, who is constantly in our everyday, in the midst of our work, our family, our weekends, our getaways, our eating, our whatever the case may be, is looking for every opportunity to devour, to come in, to steal, kill, and destroy, not just to mess up your besigheid, but to take you away from who? From the one that you need to know, so that he will be glorified and so that you will have eternal life. And to protect you from the evil one, this is what Jesus was saying. Please protect them from the evil one. And then he goes on to pray and he says, yeah, I know what this world is like. It's hectic. And I'm going, but they are staying. And my prayer is not that they don't stay. They need to stay. So Jesus prayed that you would stay in the world, that you would be in the midst of the mess, the dark. And I think this morning while we were praying, there were so many things that came out. Chris from Isaiah had a scripture, arise and shine. You know, we're in this mess, this world that is broken and demakar and corrupt and beautiful at the same time when we look at nature, but it's not ideal. And Jesus is saying, my prayer is not that they're not in the world. My prayer is that they stay in the world. But please protect them while they are there. Why? There's probably many reasons. But somewhere, somehow, the world needs to see this one that prays. His character, his love, his genuine way of leading. And so I think he's saying to his disciples, his followers, his true followers, he's saying, I really want you to be there. I don't want you to run from conference to church Sunday to cell group to this and try kind of just create this beautiful little Christian bubble where, and we need that. We do need that. Don't get me wrong. But if that's all that we want to be, or if that's all that where we want to be Christians and Christ-centered followers, then we are not falling in line with this prayer of Jesus. We are fighting against it. And Jesus is saying, I'm praying that you stay in the world. I'm praying that you get in the midst of the dirt, in your business, in the streets, wherever you find yourself every day, go, get in the midst of it. I want you there, but please, he's saying, protect them while they are there. Protect them from the evil one, because he's like a lion that's looking to devour. Please protect them. And there's this beautiful heart of Jesus that is constantly coming out. He's gentle, but authority in this whole prayer. And and then the last point, the third point, he's praying that for all believers. So he prayed for his disciples, and now he's praying for all believers. And he prayed for one thing, and he prayed that there will be unity amongst the believers. Now, this word unity is, you hear it often. You see it plucked on the walls and homes and entrances, and sometimes I think it's watered down for what it truly is. Unity is not an organized event. Unity is not something that church leaders, pastors, conference leaders, whatever the case may be, organizes so that there can be unity. No, that's great. But that is not true unity, if I understand the word correctly. Unity is when I, from this background, this culture, this church background, whatever the case may be, can go to a different country and meet someone from a completely different background that hasn't been brought up like I have in the same charismatic situation like I have. And when we get together, there's this immediate similar thinking, heart that is the same. And there's only one way that that is happening. And this was God's prayer. This was Jesus' prayer, that all believers outside this wall, from that congregation and this, from this denomination and that, when they come together, there would be this, yeah, I get you. I understand. And it's a beautiful thing to witness. I've witnessed it. There was a Oom Quintus, he's an incredible Oom. We traveled to Liberia to do some training there, and I don't know him from a bar of soap. And I met him once or twice, old Oompie, incredible mentor of mine. He became an incredible mentor. And we would go to Liberia. Now, he's a dominee from the NG Kerk down in Gauteng, and we would meet up at the airport, and we would travel together through dark, hectic, busy, incredible Africa together. We haven't spent too much time together. We are going with training material that we've all been trained up with at a certain point, then scattered again, him doing his thing, me doing my thing, and then every now and then we come together and we go on this trip to Liberia or Central Africa Republic. And when we are presenting this material or what God has laid on our heart to a bunch of people, I'm constantly feeling that I'm on the sideline thinking, this is incredible. How there's complete unity in the way that we think, how we latch onto one another, how we teach what the word is saying, completely united, not as a result of anything organized, but as a result of the Holy Spirit. Nothing else. And as a result of us walking with him, and mostly as a result of two things. Focus point number one and focus point number two in place. Because if you go read up about Jesus' prayer in the third point, him praying for unity in all the believers, many people will say, yeah, but that prayer hasn't been fulfilled yet, because look at all these denominations and these churches and these people that call themselves Christian that is constantly against each other, constantly. And you're like, what is going on? How does that work? And so people will say, yeah, Jesus prayed this prayer, but it's still going to unfold. And And if I understand correctly, it is unfolding, and it is a reality for those who believe. Not those who simply proclaim, tick boxes, those that truly have His Spirit. Those that truly have seen focus point number one, Jesus be glorified. You be glorified. You be known for who you truly are. And me as a disciple, I'm in this world. I'm in this world because I want to be a light in this world because I know who you are. But please protect me. And when you're in that position where these two points are in place, where you're a part of His prayer, number three happens amongst believers. There is a beautiful unity that you cannot really grasp, you cannot really organize, you can't put this together because it's an incredible thing that happens as a result of being in love with Christ and having His Spirit. Nothing else, nothing more. And as a result of that, then you pick up the Word and you desire it and you read it and you long for it and you learn from it. And as a result of that, He's been doing the same thing in Timbuktu or Liberia or wherever He comes from, and He does the same. And so when you come together, you, well, of course. So that's what He prayed for, this incredible unity that all believers will be united. And when that happens, when these believers are united, John 13:35 says, this is how they will know. This is how the world will know that you are My disciples, when you love each other. And love isn't this ookie spooky, ach, lekker, I'm going to be kind to you. There's a something that goes beyond that. In the midst of this world is loving your brother as a result of the unity, because of the Spirit within you. You are gripped. You are gripped for your fellow believer. You have compassion, not a worldly compassion that is stirred up by nice teachings, but by compassion as a result of having the Spirit within me. So when I step into this world that the Lord has asked me to, He's asked me to go, and not only asked me to go, but in His quiet time, looking up into the heavens and praying, I want them to, they need to go into the world, but please protect them. That compassion or this desire to go out there, I cannot wall it up. I cannot do it on my own strength. I can read it. I can talk about it. I can watch 100 YouTube videos. I can go to a bunch of conferences. I can do all these things. But to truly, truly live this prayer, this focus 1, 2, and 3 is simply as a result of me saying, here I am, Lord. And this king that was predicted about, his birth by detail, his life by detail, 900 years before He came, His death by very much detail. And then He came and He entered the scene and He showed Himself for who He is. And then He created this incredible way for me to just step in and be a part of this prayer. And He's not praying for the world. He's praying for His fellow believers so that His fellow believers would go out into the world and reveal this beautiful Jesus character that is displayed throughout here for who He truly is. And that's what true glory is. It's not just the name that is proclaimed or used or misused. Glory but it really means He is seen for who He is. Not for what He says or she says or I say or vehicles say, for who He truly is. And may we be a congregation. Maybe we are people that truly seeks Him for who He truly is. Because this is His prayer, that we would know Him and know His Father and have eternal life as a result. And as a result of that, the chatons. Into this world. So where you find yourself, whether it is farming, banking, house sitting, children, teaching, preaching, wherever you find yourself, know that you are in the world. And you've got an incredible choice to say, I'm going to operate here as a child of God. And I know that my King who came and made a way, I know He's praying for me. He's prayed for me that I would be protected. really, we do not need to fear this world and its ways and its influences. We've got this incredible God that before time knew everything, created everything along with his Father, and came and then prayed that we would be protected from the evil one. Because we need to be protected. This should give us an incredible amount of confidence. Incredible amount of faith. The one who has revealed himself over and over and over and over to all his people when he was here and even before he was here. This builds faith. And may that faith kind of be a reality in our hearts so that when we're in this world, we know, hey, it's okay. I can operate in this tough circumstances under a boss that is completely ungodly, under circumstances that is pressing, financial difficulties because of economy and whatever the case may be, whatever this world is presenting, I can operate as a child of God here. Because the King of Kings looked up into the heavens and he said, this is what I want. I want this for my people. Because the time is coming when he's coming back. And before he does, this incredible character that we read about needs to be known. So, may we experience God in this new year and these resolutions. If you have some, put it aside and make sure that Jesus is on the pedestal before everyone else, before every resolution, before every desire. And as a result of him being our vision, our desire, all these things will fall into place. Seek first the kingdom of righteousness. Seek first him. And when we're in that intimate knowing him place where his spirit can speak, hey, go left or right, do this, do that, where these things will fall into place. But may he be our ultimate in this new year. And with that in mind, we just want to take a bit of communion as a reminder of what Jesus did, because all this that we can read, experience, erfar, is as a result of that finished work of the cross, making a way for us to come close to him, making a way for us to have this word, making a way for us to see his heart, to have permission to step in and see him and hear what he's praying. This is incredible. So let us take communion together. Those that is dishing out communion, please come to the front and dish out communion. And just as a remembrance that we, and I'm not sure which category you are finding yourself in, but don't find yourself in the category where God is not praying for you. Jesus is not praying for you. He says very clearly, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for those disciples, in other words, those that truly follow, choose me. And this world is, I've realized it is so subtle in coming in and stealing. You know, that scripture of a lion coming to devour, then it's easy to identify. So there is that scripture, but I don't know if it was so easy like that where I could identify the lion is there, I'm fleeing, I'm going. Then it's easy. And he does come like that. But there's also the subtleness of this enemy, where in the midst of our everyday, in the midst of this world that we're in, just stealing, influencing, planting things that is ungodly, living things that is ungodly, that becomes a lifestyle. Where later, as a result of an ungodly lifestyle, New Year's come and we have to make a New Year's resolution because somehow we need to just, no, that's not working for me, so I'm going to try to do something better. And it's ungodly. And so may we have a lifestyle consistently desiring God above all else. And when you think of what that looks like, just go read John 17 again and witness how he prays for his people. That you would see him and say, yo, this guy is incredible. His heart for his Father, his heart for his people, his plea for us, his desire that we be protected, just as I desire my children to be protected. Let us again be reminded who Jesus is. And then he came after that, soon after that, hanging on a cross and said, I'm going to do it all. I'm going to make a way now. Time has been so long. I'm going to make a way where this evil one can be conquered for good. And the only way that he will be evil and influenced is by lying and deceiving. And may we be protected from those lies, that subtle lies that creep in. And in the midst of that, acknowledge that this individual that was Dunkey, yeah, someone down. Yeah. Kom ons maak ons, kom ons raak net so 'n bietjie stil. Let's just close our eyes and just take time to, yeah, to think your desires for this new year, the year that has passed. And in the midst of the year that is ahead and the year that is past, this King of Kings that lifted his eyes to the heavens and prayed to his Father. Let's close our eyes. Just take a bit of time. Lord Jesus, as we take this cup, this resemblance of your blood that was shed on the cross so that we, that could be washed clean, so that we could be set free, so that we could freely love you, Lord, that we could freely walk with you, that we could be cleansed, so that we could enter in your presence, that we could enter in the most holy of holies, so that we could kind of have this permission to hear and be a part of your prayer as your disciples, as your followers. Thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you that your plan is ultimate and it's good, and that we're a part of your plan. Our Lord Jesus, thank you for the blood that you shed. We take this in remembrance and we acknowledge and we declare that you are our King. You are the shepherd King that came to save, that prayed for, that looked after, that guide. And we take this with it in mind. And Lord, with this new year ahead, with the world that is outside, thank you that you want us to be there. Lord, at times it's tough, and we long, along with creation, we long for you to come back. We long for all this to come to an end, that everything can be restored. And this is what we desire in our hearts. And at times we are tired of this world and its ways, but in the midst of it, we experience this fullness of your joy that you spoke about when you prayed to your Father, that you would share these things while you were here so that we could experience the fullness of your joy. And we know that you alone fulfills that. That knowing you, walking with you, this is our joy. This is our true joy. And with this new year ahead, Lord, we want to take it. We want to take it with you, Lord. We want to walk with you. We don't want you to walk with us in our plans and what we desire and how you can bless us and what we. But that we would step into your rhythm while in this world, being protected from the evil one. Thank you so much for praying and protecting us from the evil one, Lord. I pray that we will stay in fellowship with each other, that there will be body life. We know that this is your design. And thank you that you've made this possible through the cross, Lord. Thank you that we could take your bread, this bread, a resemblance of your body, knowing that you have given life, that it's enough, and that it's done. Yeah, Lord, I just want to proclaim that you're our King. And as we head on out here, thank you that we get to be excited to walk with you, excited to experience this God-man that showed himself to the world, and this King of Kings that destroyed the enemy, this gentle shepherd that leads his sheep, this humble King with an extreme amount of authority. Help us to walk in this year with you while we seek first, where we put you first above all else, Lord. I pray that you'll give us this grace upon grace, because it doesn't come naturally. The flesh wants to jump in and have our own way and then ask you to bless us. And Lord, we just want to humbly submit. We want to submit to you, Lord, and ask you to help us and to have your way. And this is an incredible joy that we will experience this incredible journey with you in the midst of this world that you are sending us out into. In the midst of our workplace, those that is lost, those that is on the other side of kingdom. I pray that we will never be judgmental, but we'll have a compassionate heart like you do to people around us. That we'll be there. That we'll reach out, serving, sharing, encouraging, because this is what I see you did, Lord. You always put others first. Help us to walk like you walked, Lord. I pray that that we'll have this grace that will enable us to do this and to see you. And when we doubt, when we wonder, when we fade away, I pray that we'll be reminded of how you set your eyes up onto the heaven and you prayed. And that we'll see your character, this incredible individual God that came to save and came to send, and where we are in this waiting period of you coming back, Lord. We want to go with a full heart and a confidence and a faith simply because of what you have done and who you are. Thank you that we can pray this in your name as a result of the cross. Amen. Amen. Dankie julle. Ek weet jy daar seker nog koffie daar as iemand 'n koffietjie soek. Bless you.